Hey, how's it going? Hope everybody's doing well. I am suffering right now from the fallout of an ocular migraine, or a migraine with aura, I guess it's called. So what I have is I get these migraines, and now I'll probably have a wincing headache all day. But I get a migraine where I get kind of like a flashy light blind spot in my eyes. And it's not anything you can see. It's kind of like a floater. It's like one of those things you can't focus on, but it gives me like a blind spot. And it's really pretty annoying. And then, you know, like I said, I end up with this friggin' monster headache like the rest of the day. Sometimes I don't get the headache, but sometimes I do. Anyway, I just feel like total ass right now. But, you know, what are you going to do? The show must go on. So today I was going to think, I'm not what I used to be. You know, as I've gotten older and I had a bit of a revelation. So I've been doing some interviewing and, you know, all these interviews, they require that you take a test and, you know, that's totally fine. They want to make sure that you have the skill set that you need for the position. Well, I think that I finally reached a point where I'm far enough removed. So here's my thing. Like, I'm a really technical person, but I'm not, like I've said in the, you know, in previous episodes, I'm not an expert at anything. I'm just kind of like an all-around technician. I can do a lot of things. I can pick up a lot of things. But when it gets into like the real nitty-gritty of specific configurations and setups and design and things like that, I'm really... No, like I can write Python, but I'm not going to sit down with a blank screen and just write a 10,000 line program. I'm good enough where I can write it, understand it, read it, all that kind of stuff, but I'm not a developer, right? And it seems like every job that's out there, despite what they call the title, is looking for somebody that's an actual developer first and an engineer second, or even not at all. They just need someone that can write code all day long. Or figure out configurations all day long. And I guess the days of what I used to be good at don't exist anymore. Everything revolves around you're either a manager and you don't do it at all, which is what I am now, or you're an engineer and that's all you do is the nitty gritty and the deep dives and, you know, the code from back to front. So I'm finding myself in kind of a weird spot where I've had some great conversations with different organizations, but I guess I'm not what I used to be, man. I guess that, you know, what they're looking for is I'm 2 years out now from being in the trenches of technology and doing the technology. So while I can use Docker and Kubernetes and all these tool sets that are out there, I guess I can't use them from scratch. Like I said, I'm trying to build I wrote a small Python app that I, you know, just like a hello world kind of thing. That, you know, was part of this test that they sent me, you know, set up an app, you know, build up Prometheus and then visualize it with Grafana. That's really doesn't sound like a very big deal, but having not done it for a while, I've just spent the last 2.5 hours just screwing around. And all I've really got working is a Docker compose command that will build up my Python app. And I'm not able to, for whatever reason on my Mac, I'm not able to get Prometheus to work right. And I'm not able to get Grafana to get pointed at to ingest from the node exporter. So I'm getting basically nothing on the monitoring side. So it's kind of like, well, I just had to reluctantly throw in the towel. I'm like, I'm not going to spend my entire weekend doing this. As much as it would be, you know, fun to work for a company like this and do this, if it's going to be this big of a challenge for me to get back into the swing of things, I think that's going to be a problem. So I'm just going to forego it. I sent them an email just saying, hey, you know, this apparently, even though you thought it was pretty straightforward and simple, was not for me. So maybe I'm not the right person for this role. Thanks. Best of luck, you know, best wishes in your search. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. I guess I don't have the right skill set anymore. And that's disappointing. I thought I still had a little bit of time on my hands before I would have reached that point where, you know, it was like, well, you know, I'm really more of a technical leader or technical manager than I am an actual engineer. So I guess I better just stick to my guns and stick to what I'm doing now and do my best and just kind of, I guess, try to find that peace and satisfaction in what I'm doing. And, you know, I struggle with that quite a bit as a human being in general, just being able to be satisfied with what I have. Like, here's a great example, like a tangible example. I have a Yamaha 731, like an older flugelhorn that I really, really love. And I have a Schilke 1040 FLR flugelhorn that I really love as well. But I'm really lean toward the Yamaha at this point. It's just, I don't know, for whatever reason, I play it better. It's more comfortable. It feels better in the hand, all that kind of stuff. So of course I'm looking to buy another one and sell the Schilke. So that's my point. It's like I can't ever just be satisfied with what I have. I'm always looking for the next thing. And it's really irritating at this point. I really don't like that about my personality anymore. You know, I want to just settle down and just stick with what I've got and be, but it feels like if I it's almost as if, like, if I don't go out there and find the next thing, then what I have has no value. Let me try to get my head around this. So what does this actually mean? So I'm in a position, like, I worked really hard to get the job that I have right now, right? Like, I went through a whole shitload of interviews, lots of reference checks, you know, all kinds of stuff to get this position. I got the position. So what is it that it's not for me already? Why am I so unable to sit still? I guess that's the question I have to understand or ask of myself, is what is it that I'm not getting out of basically everything that I do always requires that I go to the next thing. I can't stick with anything. It's very, you know, it's very, like I said, it's irritating at this point. It's just unsettling, and there's no good reason. Like, there's nothing wrong with the position I have now and what I'm doing and the company that I'm working for and the people that I'm working with, other than the fact that I'd prefer to be remote. I think I've actually passed the milestone, and I'm just kind of used to the fact that I have a long drive every day, and that's just the way it goes. I can't just on my breaks and stuff do podcasting and play my flugelhorns and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't know, man. I'm just so confused right now. And at the same time, I just don't give a shit at all. Like, I'm so lacking in commitment to anything. It's just kind of like going through the motions, no matter what it is I'm doing. Like, I guess I'm just in a bad headspace right now, right? Because I'm not able to perform the tasks that were given to me for this particular opportunity. It's put me in a place where it's like, I'm already feel like defeated and want to give up. And that, oh, this wouldn't be a good position for me anyway, because if this is supposed to be easy and it's really hard, then I'm going to just struggle all day long. So it's not the right position anyway, which is the reality. I mean, that's the fact of the matter is that if this is what they consider easy and I'm having trouble with it, then the actual work will be way more difficult and I'll hate it. I'm just trying to, I think the reality is I'm totally done, right? I'm just, in my mind, I've worked long enough at this point. I'm just done. I want to do what I want to do, period. And unfortunately, I've said this countless times, what it is that I want to do does not support myself or my family. So it's a really disappointing predicament to be in, because I know the things that I want to do, which are, you know, this podcast and continue to make music. But unfortunately, neither one of those things makes any money. So because of the requirement that we have in society that we have money to survive and live, and, you know, I have medical conditions and things that I have to worry about and take pills and all this other crap and go to doctors and stuff, you know, to keep me alive. You know, it's really put me in this weird scenario where I just want to give everything up, but I unfortunately can't, or it would likely cost me my life. And I don't mean to be dramatic about that. I'm not saying like it's some big deal. It's just, you know, I can't actually do what I want to do. And that sucks, because now that I know what I want to do, I can't do it. Had I figured this out like 30 years ago, I guess I would have been okay, because I wouldn't have the same requirements that I do on me now. And I guess if I had a partner in life who was more supportive, both, you know, emotionally and financially, you know, my wife doesn't contribute to anything around here financially. And of course, I've countless times said that we don't have any kind of an emotional connection at all. It's just like, I mean, we're basically roommates. It's such a disaster at this point. I mean, it's, you know, I'm just sick and tired of it all. so much so that I guess I just don't want to do anything anymore. It's just awful. Like I don't know, maybe I should just take stock in what I have and be thankful that I get to leave the house every day instead of being here feeling more miserable. Because I think that I actually feel better now that I've been out of the house more and I'm interacting with other people. Now, granted, I still feel weird on occasion. Like I'll be talking to somebody and all of a sudden I'll get fixated on the wall behind them and just kind of stare off into space. So I have kind of a limited attention span for this kind of stuff or for any kind of interactions, which is really weird because like right now what I'm doing, I don't feel that way at all. And I think that's why I'm so drawn to doing like this podcast and to doing music and things like that, because it takes me out of that portion of my mind where I'm thinking too much and overanalyzing things. And this is just free form, letting things out and just letting it rip. And it doesn't give me the opportunity to sit there and kind of like, oh my God, look, I'm looking at the screen or I'm looking at the wall or, you know, because I'm just so kind of like tuned out to what's going on around me. You know, and these are all me problems, of course, right? This isn't anyone else doing something that's wrong. It's just, there's some shit wrong with me. and you know, this headache isn't helping today. That's for sure. I can tell you. So my everybody's out of the house right now. That's why I'm doing the podcast, because I have a few minutes where it's just me and Bella sitting here, my son's dog. She's a beautiful golden retriever. But you know, we're just going to sit here. I guess you know, I got the hockey game on upstairs. I'll probably watch a little bit of that later, but I feel bad because my youngest daughter and wife went shopping, and you know, my youngest daughter always likes to include everybody. So she invited me to go. And, you know, I'm like, well, I'm trying to finish up this exam for this opportunity. And I wanted to play my flugel a little bit and I want to do the podcast. So there's all these things I want to do before everybody gets home. I've got about 10 more minutes before people start coming home and dogs start barking and, you know, shit goes crazy in the house. So, I've noticed quite to my surprise and delight that the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 episodes have just been kicking ass on Anchor. So thanks very much to everyone out there that's listening. I hope some of the things that I'm saying are actually of value to you. You guys, anybody check out that the new Dave Chappelle comedy special that he did for Netflix? I guess it got a lot of criticism, but I got to be honest, I didn't find it offensive at all. And, you know, I'm bisexual, so I have a, not really a voice, but you know, I have a place in that whole thing. So, I don't know. I'm not a very easily offended person. You know, I don't go through life where if somebody calls me a dumb piece of shit or uses some kind of, I don't know, I guess, is there a racial slur for white people or for bisexual people? I don't know. Is there any kind of derogatory term I could be called? I mean, I don't have any issues with it because I don't have any issues with who I am. I think that's potentially the problem. Now, look, I understand, like, if you're being bigoted and, you know, someone is just harping on you to death that it's going to be a problem. I've never experienced that. Like, I've never had anyone bash me for being bisexual or for being heterosexual or, you know, whatever it is that, you know, I don't know, I guess that's kind of an ignorant thing to say. I mean, heterosexuality is the thing that is not biased against, isn't, you know, has no bias against it is what I meant. But you know, the bisexual thing, I've never had a problem with that. So I guess if people were to say something to me, I don't know, I own it. Have I been with men? Yeah. I mean, it's a fact I have. So what? What are you going to say to me that's going to hurt me? I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just in that way. I'm not very sensitive. Like it doesn't offend me. So I don't care if, even if you are a complete pile of shit and want to say horrible things, I don't know, I'll probably kick your ass, but I'm not going to be like hurt by it. I mean, I would kick somebody's ass for cutting me off in their car. So, I mean, that's not saying much. So I don't think that it's really about that as much as it is about, I really don't care about that kind of stuff because I'm not uncomfortable in my own skin. You know, I mean, I like who I am. Generally speaking, I own all of my quirks and my fuck ups and, you know, everything that's unique about me and everything that isn't unique about me. You know, I mean, I'm nothing special. Like I've said before, I'm just some guy. You know, I've happened to have been and experimented with men in my past. I think that I prefer women from a sexual perspective, but from a getting along, you know, and a relationship perspective, it's totally with men. I mean, I have way better relationships with men than I do with women. It's always this complex, fucked up, difficult, tormented, I don't understand where you're coming from, you don't understand where I'm coming from sort of thing when it comes to women. So I would love to just get a hug from anybody at this point, really. I mean, that's how pathetic it is now. And, you know, how do you find anybody these days? It's so pathetic. What are you supposed to do? You can't really go out. I mean, it's still kind of weird to go out and be around lots of people because of all the pandemic crap and masks here and not there and all this nonsense that's going on in our society still. You know, somehow or another, I have an immune system, knock on wood, made out of friggin' steel, I guess, because like I said, two people in my office that I was in very close proximity to, like they were in my office talking to me easily within 6 feet of me for, you know, 20, 30 minutes long, prolonged periods of time, we're having conversations. And these two people both have COVID. And I tested twice just to be safe. I'm like, well, when the one got it, I went and got tested. And then I was thinking, well, maybe I didn't let it last long enough. And, you know, before I would start to show symptoms or show a positive sign. So I went and got another test like 4 days later after hearing 2 days prior to that, that someone else in the office got sick. I'm like, shit, how is there a possibility that I don't have this? And sure enough, I tested negative again. I'm like, gosh, darn it. I got some kind of an immune system. I'll tell you that. Or I'm just lucky as hell when it comes to this disease. It doesn't like me. You know, I don't know what the scenario is there, but, you know, it's, I don't know. So I don't know how that has to do with anything I was just saying when it comes to being offended by being bisexual or owning that or wanting hugs and how do you meet people? But I'm just sorry. My head's a little bit all over the place today. As always, if you've listened to me before, you know that this kind of wanders in weird directions. But, you know, I mean, as far as the bipolar, so if you've not listened to this before, Bipolar Bear podcast is a play on a whole bunch of crap. So I'm bipolar, I'm bisexual. The bear part is because I kind of look like a bear. And then there's the gay community of bears, you know, so there's all these plays. And of course, podcast is just podcast. But yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not offended by things. And I wonder if this is, you know, this is probably super controversial to say, but I wonder if so many people are offended by things because they're actually, even though they may have come out or, you know, they say they're proud of who they are, they really aren't. Like years ago, I gave up giving a shit what people thought of me. And it wasn't because I wanted to. It was because I got sick and tired of being judged by people that had no right to judge me and no business judging me and needed to actually just kind of look themselves in the mirror and figure out what their own problems were and stop worrying about what my problems may or may not be. So at some point, you know, and I often say this, that, you know, part of being able to cope with, at least for me, cope with things like this is you have to let a certain component within you kind of just die away. And the only way to really not care about something is to truly not care about that something, which means you have to, unfortunately for me, it's been like very blanketed across multiple things. So, you know, I mean, I can't imagine that the fact that I have such a poor relationship with my wife, who's a woman, that has not soured my relationship or potential thoughts about relationships with other women. It totally has. Because part of me had to be let go to be able to deal with my wife in a rational way where I don't lose my shit all the time and get super frustrated and angry. I had to let stuff go and just be like, I'm not going to care about that anymore. And in doing that, it makes it more tolerable to be in a circumstance where that kind of scenario is presenting itself to you over and over. But at the same time, it means you've also given that up for any person that may come along that is deserving of that from you. You don't have it anymore. So that's why I was alluding in the last episode or whenever that was, you know, to the fact that I'd probably be a total piece of shit for somebody now if I were to meet somebody new in my life, or if my wife and I were to separate and we'd go on our separate ways. Who in the hell would want to be around me? I mean, I've had to do what I just described so many times with my parents, with my wife, with, you know, even to some extent with my kids, with any kind of friendships. So many times I've had to just let stuff go and let it go forever for all that, you know, what am I now? What's left of me? I can't even imagine myself with another person. I mean, I don't imagine myself with my wife, but I'm just saying I can't imagine myself being happy with another person. It just doesn't compute for me. I can't envision that. I've been in this rotten scenario for so long that I can't possibly imagine what it would feel like to be happy, truly, and to be with people that actually give a shit about you and care about you and put your needs in some way, shape, or form as a priority. I'm not saying my needs are more important than anyone else's. I'm just saying they are important. Also, could someone ever recognize it? Like, I got yelled at this morning because I didn't, I did this intentionally because these are one of the things I got to let go. You know, our 11th or 12th wedding anniversary, something like that is, you know, see how much love I am. I don't even know what it is. It's something like that. Was September 25th. And I purposefully did nothing. I didn't even wish my wife any kind of celebratory remarks, nothing. I just let the day pass and I went and bought myself a nice Bulova watch. That's what that watch was. I bought myself an anniversary present because nobody else will buy me anything or do anything for me. But I'm the piece of shit because I did nothing for my wife and I didn't wish her a happy anniversary. And I asked her, I'm like, well, you didn't do that for me. And there was just no comment. It's like, it is this just absolute abomination of a circumstance or a situation where I have to do literally everything and no one does anything for me. And I don't care if I sound like a whiny bitch for saying that. That's the reality of my life. That's the truth that I live. And yes, is it my own fault? I'm sure it is. At least in so far as much as I'm not leaving, I haven't left this situation to go find something different because frankly, I don't want to. And it has nothing to do with the situation. It has to do with what I've said before, and that I don't want to give up everything that I've worked for the last 30 years to have just so I can start over. And my counselor yells at me about this, and you know, everybody, it's like, guys, I don't know what to tell you. I can't just walk away from everything that I've, the meagerness that I've achieved in my life. I'm not just giving it to somebody and walking out. No way. The only way that's happening is if my crypto wallet blows up and all of a sudden I have $500,000 and I literally can do that without any repercussions at all. Because I'm not trying to make anyone's life miserable. I'm not trying to screw my wife over or make things bad, but I am just not going to go broke to get out of this situation. I'd rather stay here and be miserable than walk away and be miserable for some other reasons. Like, hey, I have no money. Hey, I'm paying alimony to some piece of shit that doesn't care about me and hasn't for 20 years. I'm not doing it. I might as well stay here and make everyone else miserable. that's such a horrible thing to even think, let alone say out loud. But that's how I feel. I mean, that's the reality of it. I don't know if you have anything like this going on in your life, but I would love to hear some feedback from some of you on if you've got different solutions to this problem other than just packing your bags and leaving. Because like I said, that's not something I'm capable of doing yet. I haven't reached a point where all of this means nothing and I just want to walk away. I'm probably pretty close. Like I would imagine that if my children didn't live at home anymore, that would make a lot of sense at that point. But since everybody's still here, it still feels like it has for the last 20 years. And with them, it's a good thing. I love being around my kids and stuff. I don't want that to go away. But once that's gone, what will be left? Just my wife and I to sit here and fucking argue with each other all the time and sit there and go, oh, look, there's nobody in the house, but why are we not having sex now? Oh, we're still going to play baby games and you're going to hold that over my head and tell me that we can't do that because I'm such a terrible person. Unreal, right? I mean, to me, it's unreal. It's almost, I almost honestly feel like crying right now. It's so ridiculous and pathetic. You know, I'm embarrassed. So these are the things that bother me. And this is what really sets me off. So I guess I can relate. So what I started off by saying is talking about Dave Chappelle and his new special, I wasn't offended by it at all. You know, I mean, granted, I'm not a trans, you know, community member really in the same sense that, you know, I still look like a man and I don't have like female tendencies other than I like some quirky things from a dress up kind of perspective. But I mean, I don't walk around in things where you would know anything like that. They're like little dirty little secrets that I keep, but you know, I mean, I don't know what to say about that, I guess, other than it's not something that people would judge me, even if they saw it, probably because of the size of person I am. Most people don't mess with me. So I don't have that kind of bullying in my life anymore. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of, I guess, not funny, but interesting that, you know, there's something completely different in my life that does set me over the edge like that still. So I can relate to somebody having a negative reaction to some of the things that were said in that special. And, you know, quite honestly, I didn't really laugh too much during his special. Like, he's, to me, like, Bill Burr is a much funnier comic when it comes to like laughing. I laugh my ass off with Bill Burr. And Bill Burr, you know, you could argue is he's a very real world comedian. Like, he's talking about real issues and real things, but his stuff just comes off a little bit lighter and a little bit funnier, even though it is still serious. Dave Chappelle's stuff he's almost monologuing just about, he might as well be doing a TED talk is almost what his entertainment has become to me now. Like, it seems pretty educational and there's some points of humor in here and there, but I'm not sitting there laughing my ass off. It's kind of like listening and becoming more educated about topics from, you know, his point of view on things. So it's kind of weird, but I guess I can relate to how people might react to somebody saying that. But at the same time, I'm absolutely a supporter of not just comedians, but people should be able to say whatever they want to say. That's what free speech is. You have the equivalent freedom to not participate, not listen. But somebody like Dave Chappelle or Joe Rogan saying something that's infuriating, who cares? Just turn it off. Go listen to something else. There have been plenty of episodes of Joe Rogan's podcast that I've listened to 10 minutes of and just, it wasn't for me, so I just skipped to another episode. I don't hold it against the guy because he had some guest on that I didn't like. I just didn't listen to it. Right? I mean, so I think if we kind of took that approach more often, then I think maybe we would be less incited by all of the things and that, you know, just aren't your cup of tea. If it's not something that's right for you, it doesn't mean that it's not right for everyone. And we've gotten to a place in our society where if one person calls somebody out and says, well, this is the wrong thing, you know, everybody has to agree and, oh no, you're canceled. And that's where that whole thing came from, right? It's like, well, one person did this one thing wrong or many things wrong. And now we're going to cancel them based on that whole cancel culture model where, you know, just because you're offended by something doesn't mean somebody shouldn't have the ability to do what they're doing. And, you know, social media just gets it wrong time and time again. They censor specific people and not others for the, you know, it's like there's the same argument that could be made for many different people out there on the internet and all the different social media platforms, but they pick and choose who they're going to ban and who they're not going to ban. And it's just like so ridiculous at this point that you can't even get the truth out of anybody because it depends on what side of the table you're on, if you'll even be allowed to speak your mind, even if you have backing evidence and documentation and real data that says that what you're saying is in fact true. If somebody is offended by it or doesn't like it, then God forbid you be able to say it. You're just canceled. And I mean, the most ridiculous thing about that is a guy like Dave Chappelle, do you think he cares? I mean, on some level he probably does, right? But I mean, if he never did another comedy special ever again, the guy's got probably hundreds of millions of dollars, doesn't really need the money anyway, doesn't have to work another day in his life. So if he got canceled and never did something, I mean, the guy walked away from a hugely successful show for what, like 15 years or something like that? Just stopped doing it and walked away and quit. Put up the middle fingers and said, I'm not doing this, goodbye, and left. You think he gives a shit if people are going to backlash on him? And oh, they're going to, you can't cancel a guy like that. Because he's not afraid to own his shit. And I guess that's what I'm saying is that if you take anything away, even if you hate a guy like Dave Chappelle because of what he said about the trans community or how you feel about that, if you're in the trans community, What you need to really do is take away how and why he did that and how much of a shit he doesn't care, because he's just speaking his mind. And if you don't like it, don't listen to it. But who cares? Don't give that guy any power. If what he said offends you, just ignore it. And I'm not saying turn the other cheek and not do something about it. I'm just saying, for your own peace of mind and well-being, it makes a lot more sense to just let something like that go than it does to feed into it and let it enrage you for, you know, over and over and over again. Like I was just explaining with my wife, I just had to let all that crap go, because if I don't, all I am is miserable 24/7 because I'm with a person who I find attractive, who I still feel love for, who doesn't reciprocate those feelings and doesn't want to be with me in any way physically. And it's infuriating to be around somebody like that and want to squeeze her butt or grab her and kiss her and stuff like that and know that I can't do that. It's literally like torture. So I guess my contrasting point to this is, if that's how you feel when people like Dave Chappelle are saying the things that they're saying, I understand. I really do. And it's very difficult, because as far away as I try to get from my wife, somehow I'm still here, right? So clearly I'm not really trying to leave. I don't know what I'm trying to do. Man, I wish I had some clue how to overcome this circumstance that I find myself in these days. It's really not ideal, but you know, what are you going to do? I guess that's on me. What I was really trying to talk about today was, and maybe I did to some degree, is that I'm not what I used to be, in the sense, you know, kind of, it was, you know, like a wake up call that I just, you know, I'm not saying I'm a worse person than I was, you know, in the past, but I don't know that all parts of me have grown to be a better person. I'll say that for sure. And it's a really difficult thing to kind of reflect back, like I've said before, and realize that you're actually not that special, and you're not going to leave some indelible mark on the world where people are going to remember you and know you. And the things that you think that were, you know, amazing and important and exciting are really not. And I think that I've had this grand dream that's distracted me so vehemently from what really would make me happy and what does make me happy, which is speaking my mind. I love doing this show. I love doing this podcast, you know, whatever you want to call it. I don't know, I'd call it a show as if it's something meaningful, but I really enjoy doing this. I don't know why, but I'm not going to question it. I'm just going to keep on doing it. Maybe it's the quality of the sound now that I get with the microphone. Maybe some of the content resonates with me. Like I said, I do go back and listen to all these, because not that I'm my own biggest fan, but a lot of the stuff that's said here is just flinging off of my tongue, and I need to go back and listen to it to see if there's anything meaningful that I can pull from it to actually learn and better myself. And, you know, that's an important thing for me. And what I've also learned is that, you know, the music thing was great, but the success in music is not for me really got anything to do with the financial piece. Again, I need to make money doing something, and I would love for it to be things that I love to do, such as music and podcasting. But nevertheless, I'm not going to stop doing these things, because what my actual most favorite thing to do is just sit down in my room and play the flugelhorn with no backing music, not creating or writing a song, just playing it, making sounds. And there's no way that I would ever make any money doing that. So I think that it's, you know, I feel fortunate in the sense that I found some of the things that I really do enjoy spending my time doing. And I do have some time to do those things in life. So I'm just going to try to take advantage of that and do them as much as I can and fill up as much of my time with the things that I enjoy doing most and try to surround myself with some great people. You know, it's been difficult in my life. I've had a lot of trial and tribulations throughout the years. And I can't say that I'm not a direct contributor to a lot of the problems that I have, because I know that I am. I'm not going to sit here and say that all the problems that I have with my wife are her fault. They're not. I will say that she doesn't meet me halfway and doesn't make any effort or try at all. So that sure doesn't help. But we're just unfortunately incompatible people, and it's never going to work. No matter what we do, no matter what we've tried, it's only gotten worse over time. And I can't imagine that it's going to somehow take some miraculous turn and all of a sudden be better. Like I said, when I had heart surgery in 2014, that's when I knew it was over. because my wife didn't give a shit one way or another. She wasn't there for me. She didn't help me. She just bitched and complained because I couldn't get things done the way I should have been able to get them done, even though I was trying to recover from 2 open heart surgeries. So to me, that tells you very clearly that somebody doesn't give a shit about you at all, is when you're at your absolute lowest point in your entire life that they shit all over you anyway. So, you know, that is what it is. It's a sad story, whammy, you know, but sure. Am I bitter? Absolutely. Am I dead inside in a lot of ways? Absolutely. And that's why I don't really have much hope for finding some other person or some other people that would really want to be around me, because what kind of a person am I really today? I'm probably not that great of a person to be around at all. And that's really disappointing and sad, because I can still remember a time in my life where everything was wonderful and I was happy-go-lucky and I just didn't feel the way that I do today. And that sucks, because I really don't want to be this person and act and feel this way anymore. It's really not productive. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't make me happy. It's very disappointing and depressing all at the same time. You know, and a lot of people are like, well, go get help and, you know, pick your chin up. I'm like, guys, I've been doing this for nearly my entire adult life. It's been like this. You can only pick yourself up so many times. At some point, parts of you just stay down and they never come up again. It's, you know, as disappointing and just negative as that sounds, unfortunately, that's at least my reality. There are things I'll never get back about who I am as a person. I've given them up too many times for too long of period of time. It's just not going to come back. Just like I was using the example at the beginning where I've been away from deep technology for a long enough period of time at this point that I actually don't know what I'm doing with a lot of stuff. I'm certainly no senior engineer anymore, that's for sure. I can figure things out and get through and muddle through the basic stuff. So I'm not technical, but I am by no means a senior engineer at this point. You know, I just don't have it anymore. I put it down and it would take an enormous lift to pick it back up. Well, what a great analogy that is, right? I put down this big heavy weight that I was carrying so easily for so long and now I'm out of shape and I'm trying to pick it back up and I simply can't. I have to start small and work my way up. And that's not a job that's going to hire me. You know, you're not going to get a senior position. I was dealing with some people in my company now, you know, and they have some lofty and somewhat ludicrous aspirations for where they think they should be, but they don't yet understand that, well, you're not there today, so you're not going to get that today. You have to struggle and work hard. You have to start picking that weight up a little bit at a time each and every day. And then one day you'll be able to pick it up to your waist. And then you do that for a little bit longer. And then the next time you'll be able to press it up to your chest. And then finally, after years of doing this, you'll be able to press it over your head and stand there strong. It takes time. That's not just something you can do. Very few people could just walk up to something they put down that was a very heavy lift and just pick it all back up again, no problem. You know, I mean, I know I'm using like the bodybuilder analogy here, the weight training analogy, but it's a great one. It works really well. So if you've put down a heavy weight, it's going to be a big lift to get that thing back up, or a long road. Or you might just give up and say, fuck this, and just leave it because it's too big. It's too insurmountable at that point. And that's how I feel a lot about this. It's like, God, am I really going to go back and learn how to do all of this technology again? Not from scratch, but, you know, relearn how to do it from a granular perspective. That's a big lift. That isn't something I can do in a few hours. Like I just, you know, just illustrated to myself that, wow, this didn't seem like a very challenging activity that they wanted me to perform, yet it was. When I started to get into it, I'm like, geez, I don't actually know how to do this. So I have to sit here. How much time do I want to spend on this to potentially get a job that I might not even want or might not even like or might not even make me an offer, even if I get through it? So I don't know. I'm going to leave it with that today because I think I'm all over the place as always. But again, I do appreciate the support here. You guys are really kicking it for me. And I can't tell you, I know this sounds sappy and pathetic, but I can't tell you how much that means, because to see something like this grow is really cool. And it's really inspiring and it's really motivating. So thanks so much for listening. I appreciate everything and everyone. And, you know, come back again. I'll probably have something good to say. At least one good thing comes out of every one of these episodes, right? There's at least one thing you can go back and go, that was actually pretty good. So I'll try to keep doing that for everybody, including myself. And you guys have a good weekend. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.